So these are the qualifications which Sri Krishna makes here and prepares what is called the real synthesis of knowledge, works and devotion. We are always told that the Bhagavad Gita is a synthesis of knowledge, works and devotion. It is not only a teaching which says that you can follow either knowledge or devotion or action. That is only a partial statement of the Gita. It says that the knowledge, if it is pursued, becomes such an integral knowledge that it becomes dharmyam and susukham. It is that knowledge which you pursue, it becomes so integral that it gives you the right path of action, it opens out the right path of devotion. It is that if you start on the path of action, you are led to knowledge. This is what we had seen in the chapter number 4, how when you start with action, you enter into highest knowledge, where Sri Krishna says that all action ultimately ends in knowledge. This is a movement, Sri Krishna's teaching is that if you start with devotion, then you end with the highest knowledge and also the highest action. It is integral knowledge, integral karma yoga, and integral path of devotion, bhakti marga. Or you might say it is a completely integral, where knowledge is not knowledge unless it is dharmyam and susukham. You cannot even define it as knowledge unless it is at once this. It is not devotion if it is not luminous. If it does not take you to the service of the people and the world, to the action in the world. This devotion is such a devotion that you seek the divine, and since divine is everywhere, you are obliged to move everywhere. Since the divine is akshara, this takes you to akshara, to immobile. But since the divine is also this, all this movement, the real bhakta cannot but remain merely in the immobile. He has got to move on the footsteps of God Himself, because He's a bhakta. Wherever the Lord is, so there is the bhakta is. So if the Lord Himself is in the battle, then the bhakta also has to be in the battle. He cannot say, I'll be only seeking the immobile. Sannyasa is the only right thing. When the bhakta finds that the Bhagwan Himself is in the battle, how can you leave the battlefield? The right action is involved in the very bhakti with which you approach the Supreme Lord. Therefore, this bhakti leads you to the highest knowledge and the highest action. This is the kind of synthesis which you have in this Rajavidya. This Rajavidya has therefore two sides. The complete knowledge of the divine and the complete path by which the complete divine is completely realized. It is therefore integral in every sense of the term. The object is integral, the process is integral, and the result is integral. This is why this is called the Rajavidya, the supreme knowledge. Now, at present, it is being told only in the terms of intellect. Every intellectual statement is subject to doubt. And Bhagavad Gita has already spoken earlier, pariprashnena sevaya. Whenever an intellectual statement is made to you, you should approach it with repeated questioning. And you should at the same time approach the giver of the knowledge with seva. The two conditions are laid down. And the reason is that if you merely question, then it can be an idle question. Because human mind has many levels of questioning. If you are very idle about anything, and somebody says, look, there is something, say, I don't believe it. You are very idle, you are sleeping, you do not want to wake up, and somebody says, look, fire, I don't believe it. So there is simply a kind of an idle refusal. There is not even questioning, it's only idle refusal. I don't want to get up from my sleep, therefore I say, I don't believe it. It's a very flippant, superficial answer. There is a higher level of questioning where you simply say, you tell a child, God exists. The child says, unless you show me, I will not believe. It's a good question. But then one can remain merely at that level, in which the onus is now put upon the person who has made that statement. You are free. Now you don't need to do anything at all. The one who makes a statement has now to take the trouble to show you where God is. This is also an idle question, actually, or idle doubt. Because you do not want to take the trouble. When somebody says God exists, you simply want to put the burden upon another. Now you prove to me. Show me. Then I'll believe in it. So, at a higher level, the questioning should be, on what ground do you tell me God exists? Now, when you ask this question, you are more reasonable. Merely saying, I don't believe him, or show me, it is a flippant answer, which most of the people do in this world. Therefore, Sri Krishna says, pariprasnena. You should ask question repeatedly. And first question is, please tell me on what ground do you say God exists? Then you can inquire further. Do you say that God exists because you have seen God? This could be one question. Is it because you have seen God? If you have seen God, have you seen God physically as I see all objects of the world? If not, are there many other ways of knowing, of which I am not aware? If so, kindly tell me how there are many other ways of knowing. Can I enter into those other ways of knowing? How shall I go about it? Now, these questions arise only if you are a real sincere seeker. A sincere seeker of knowledge cannot remain idle or cannot raise idle questions until any claim that is made about knowledge is ultimately brought to the final conclusion.